cut bacon. It's Omaha Steaks. So you've got a variety of Father's Day packages that include the world-famous Omaha Steaks. They're naturally aged at least 21 days for tenderness, hand-carved to perfection, and burgers and hot dogs and sausages and other favorites, premium poultry and pork cut by their butchers. Father's Day packages are ready to order and ship, and many include free shipping and a free pound of steak cut bacon. So what you do, go to omahasteaks.com, type Dan in the search bar, and look at all these great deals and shop for Father's Day at omahasteaks.com today.
My little brother Gavin was killed in a car crash in Knox County.
But Gavin was not known to wear a seatbelt, and the truck rolled 3 times. And when it flipped, he was ejected from the vehicle at approximately 12:02.
Imagine leaving life at the age of 27. It's not fair that I don't have my brother anymore. If you care about the people around you, tell your loved ones to put their seatbelts on. You can learn more about Gavin at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Today's reality has forced us all to grapple with what's important and what isn't. And what will always be important is family and health. Unfortunately, snoring, sleep apnea, and nasal breathing problems have a direct impact on those two things we hold close. Living with any one of these issues compromises your quality of life, and that affects your whole household. It's not always easy to take action to change that, but Advent is going to help with a free virtual consultation. There's no cost and no commitment, and you don't have to worry about insurance or missing work to find out if Advent can solve your problem. During your virtual consultation, you'll chat one-on-one with a sinus and sleep specialist to find out exactly what you need to know. Text the word ADVENT to 797979 to schedule your free, zero-strings-attached virtual consultation. I'm Dr. Madhan Kandula. We won't be able to do this forever, but we're doing it now, because ADVENT knows when you breathe well, you live better.
Accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Mike Florio is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports joins us as he always does on Wednesdays at 10 on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing great today. How are you?
Good. I saw this yesterday where a Variety magazine was able to find data that was indicating the most downloaded, streamed, binge-watched television show in every state of the union, and it was fascinating to watch. Most states, it's Friends. I think Rick and Morty was second. In Illinois and Pennsylvania, interestingly, it was Chicago PD. So here are the three that tied for number one in West Virginia. And I'm wondering which of these is being streamed and binged at the Florio compound. The winners were Grey's Anatomy, How I Met Your Mother, and The Walking Dead. Are any of those Florio comfort food?
No. None of them. Now, I used to watch The Walking Dead when it first came out, and once you've invested in four or five seasons, you feel compelled to see it through. But I got to the point where I just didn't follow it anymore, and I gave up on it. The Office and Seinfeld, to the extent that they factored in what's emanating from our internet address and what we're consuming, or at least I'm consuming on Netflix and Hulu, those would be the winners, The Office and Seinfeld, depending upon what mood I'm in that day.
Yeah, our house, it appears to be the wife and son watch The Office or The British Baking Show, and I think my daughter has entirely already binge-watched Friends, so I think that's that.
It's amazing how many kids in that 10, 11, 12, 13 age range are discovering The Office for the first time and watching it over and over and over again. I've got a 13-year-old nephew who just watches the entire series on repeat. And when he gets to the end, he goes back to the beginning and watches it all, and he just keeps going over and over and over again.
It's amazing to me, but hey, more power to him. It's something that can bring mom and son together. I'm all for it. Well, and it's something other than playing NBA 2K or playing Fortnite, which is fine with me as well. We have a change to a rule that I think is actually a good one, where the onside kick alternative, they've changed the timing of it. And when you hear the explanation, it sounds like they actually thought this through.
Well, right, and this is something that we argued for yesterday on PFT Live, and barring any evidence to the contrary, we'll take credit for influencing them to make the change. What the hell? It's not like they're going to give us the credit, even if they did consider what we had to say. But the argument was very simple. If a team goes ahead late in a game by 3 or 4 points, and there's just a handful of seconds left on the clock, and that team still has the ability to use one of its twice per game 4th and 15 alternative to the onside kick, all you do is, instead of surrendering possession of the ball to the other team via a kickoff, you get into your 4th and 15 look, the quarterback gets the ball, he runs around for a little bit and then either takes a knee or runs out of bounds or throws the ball down the field like Patrick Mahomes did on the last play of the Super Bowl, and the game's over. You win, and there's no chance for that other team to answer with a Stanford band type of a play. Even though it's a remote chance, it goes to zero if you allow the team that goes ahead late to game the system by running a play, ending the game because the final few seconds go off the clock. So we said you either need to say you can't use 4th and 15 as the alternative to the onside kick if you're ahead, or it needs to be an untimed down. So they've revised, they've revamped, they've retooled that proposal to include an untimed down for that 4th and 15 play.
We didn't have any direct football involvement in the weekend, but we did have a couple of prominent football players, one current, one former, taking part in a sporting event. And that was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And even in the adverse weather conditions, I really got a kick out of it. I got a kick more out of the conversations that were being had and how they interacted with one another, how they talked strategy. I thought on balance, it was kind of a win for everybody involved.
Well, and it was definitely a win to have nearly 6 million people watching on average on the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. I mean, there's a reason the NFL has gotten away from playing games on Labor Day weekend. It's because people are outside. And the fact that they generated that kind of interest, that kind of rating on a weekend where a lot of people said, well, I'm not going to sit inside and watch this golf match. It's impressive. And it was an impressive and humanizing look at these guys. To see Tom Brady struggle at anything is something that makes us feel better about Tom Brady. And then when he has the shot of the day, he splits his pants. I mean, it was great. And to hear the talking, to hear the interaction, I think that should prompt sports leagues and teams and networks to come up with other ways to give people that kind of access, to engage them more in watching these events. And it helps create personalities, too. If you're a golfer who would be very likable, who has a lot of things to say, the next thing you know, you've got a podcast that you're selling to Spotify for $100 million if you play your cards right. So there's reason for the golfers to want to do it. There's reason for other sports to embrace it. It's a way to further market the personalities that populate these sports.
I'm wondering if perhaps we're not looking at a larger trend in that regard. And it's the NFL, of all leagues, that has always been the most frightened. And everything is somehow that the awful action, that everything is in the way of the grim to victory on the battlefield, that maybe this will loosen up the NFL, that all of this, globally, we talk about how they did the draft, and being in these guys' homes, and how they're doing some of these meetings now, that maybe, just maybe, overall, this will be a push for the NFL to just relax a little bit.
I think the thing that makes the NFL relax in that regard is money. And when someone makes the NFL an offer for the next wave of TV rights and includes in there a clear and strong and firm commitment that there will be heightened access to players, that the microphones will be used to generate something more than let's go, right? They do that on Monday Night Football every week. Oh, mic'd up tonight is so-and-so, and all you get is let's go. Yeah, great play. I mean, when Sam Darnold says he's seeing ghosts, that's controversial because that was the only thing all year long that was worth a crap that anyone said into the hot mic that they actually put on the air. Give us the real conversation. Bleep it if you need to. People want that. There's value in that. And I think when the NFL recognizes they can make a hell of a lot more money allowing access to those conversations, that's when they'll say, well, we need to give this a try. Yeah, because we're going to get paid a crap load of money for it.
We've been following along, Mike, as the NFL has said, we're playing in front of fans, we're playing our regular schedule, and we saw DeMora Smith come out and say that the likelihood of 2020 is at 6 or 7 on a scale of 10. The league may be not going with any hard dates on anything. How informed are they, and how are they choosing to actually cleave to science as they make some of these decisions, or is there a degree of willful ignorance guiding some of it?
There's a belief in league circles that by the time we get to September, the testing will have improved, the antigen testing will have improved, it will be all very readily available, it will be quick to turn it around, they will have systems in place to spot people who are positive with the coronavirus, to get them out of the facility, not even let them in if they show up on any given day as a positive. So they are very, very optimistic they can pull it off. And look, I think that D. Smith's restraint is a recognition of two things. The other union chiefs from both baseball and basketball who were part of the Real Sports with Brian Gumbel program were both in that range, so he just kind of parroted what they said. But also, the reality is there's a negotiation to be had here. And to the extent that there are going to be plans for practices and games, the players have a seat at the table. But where the union leadership needs to be careful is when it comes to drawing a line in the sand that the players may not want to draw. And this gets back to the same reason why strikes and lockouts don't work for players. Players want to play football and they want to get paid. And the average player does not care about the coronavirus. On the list of things that present an immediate threat to an NFL player, COVID-19 is very far down on the list. Whether it should be higher is a different issue. But most players are going to look at it and say, I don't care. Every time I walk out onto that field, I could break my neck. I'm not worried about some virus that I believe I'm strong enough to overcome. So union leadership needs to take into account the wishes and the will of the rank and file. And as long as the NFL isn't trying to take money out of the players' pockets, it should be pretty easy to come up with an arrangement to allow the season to go forward.
Yeah, I had an argument with a caller a few days ago. It was last week sometime, but time is all sort of blending together at the moment. But he said that obviously football and hockey would be quicker to get back because these guys already have an aspect of not caring their wherewithal. And I countered that, Mike, by saying it's not about them necessarily. With anybody with the intellectual wherewithal to understand that in a pandemic, it's about how the potential of spread. It's not just the example that's set. It's also the public health responsibility to others. It's back, you know, mask wearing. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it because you care about your fellow human being. And I do think there has to be some sentiment there. We've heard it from the players. They've expressed whether it's a guy who had to have a spleen taken out or a guy who has children with asthma who might be more at risk. That it is, there is an element that's about them, but it's about all of us, is it not?
Well, it is. You're right. But one thing I've noticed over the course of the last 2 months, that concern just through sheer force of the will of certain segments of the population, that concern is subsiding, even if it shouldn't be. And it's alarming when you think about it, but to the extent that D. Smith tries to stand up and say, we can't go forward with practices or games under these proposed parameters because we potentially are going to have players who take this virus home and infect others who are going to be vulnerable to becoming extremely ill or dying from it, that's not going to be a popular position with his constituents. It's not going to be a popular position with the general public, and it's not going to be a popular position with the NFL's owners. We have seen this pendulum swing in the direction of, if you're somebody who needs to be worried about the virus, stay home. Keep yourself out of circulation. Take the proper precautions. You know, one thing that gets lost in this, there are people out there who have other health conditions that don't realize they have other health conditions. There are plenty of people who have diabetes for a long time before they become aware that they're diabetic, and this is a hell of a way to find out you're diabetic when you end up dead from COVID-19. But, you know, look, I'm trying to be realistic about where we are, and I think where we are is that this push to open the country, this push to revive the economy, is going to parlay itself into an overwhelming avalanche of a desire to go forward with football. And those concerns, while valid, I think are going to be secondary to this momentum that already is in place to bring football back.
Mike, last thing for you. The report in The Athletic used the phrase dozens of bidders for the corpse of the XFL, or pennies on the dollar of what's left. Where is the value in the XFL? Is it in simply owning the rights to it and maybe waiting, or is it trying to hurry it back and relaunch it? I'm not quite sure I understand what the attraction is of the potential business at the moment.
I think in some respects the XFL was ahead of its time, along with the AAF. The idea that they rushed these products to market before legalized sports betting had spread to enough states to make it something that really was viable. They tried to get ahead of that curve. The problem is the pandemic is slowing the curve, but I believe once the pandemic is resolved, once the dust settles on the financial damage that's being done to state budgets, that's when states are going to turn around and say, how can we make a lot of money quickly? Oh, here's how. We can legalize marijuana and we can legalize gambling on sports. Let's do both ASAFP. That's when the window opens for the XFL to return and make money and not just survive but thrive. So that's why there are dozens of bidders. That's why there is a belief that Vince McMahon was lurking in the weeds to buy the wreckage of the XFL at a discount after the creditors have to eat the losses arising from the pandemic and then move forward with something that will be very viable and profitable. There is, I think, a window. It's still a few years down the road, but there is a window for people who will be looking for things to bet on, and then once you have skin in the game, you're going to be interested in watching the games, and you fill that void between February and April, and you may have a winner. It's not going to be as big as the NFL, but it's going to be big enough that it's going to justify the investment. That's why I think this thing is moving in that direction.
Mike Florio, thank you as always. Continued good health.
See you, buddy. Take care.
That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. When we come back, I've got to bring up another potential return in sports, another sporting event that has been discussed increasingly, and this is a phenomenon in large part due to social media and, again, due to boredom and maybe a kind of a bad memory. It's a complicated question about a complicated person and somebody who many are urging to get back to doing what made him very, very famous and for a time very, very wealthy. We'll get into that next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have The Score.
NFL football fans, let The Score hook you up while you're keeping safe at home as we air NFL Classics featuring some of the biggest games in NFL history starting tomorrow night at 7.
Join us for the AFC Championship game from January 22nd, 2007. The Patriots versus the Colts.
Intercepted! Colts are going to the Super Bowl! Marvin Jackson!
Starting tomorrow night at 7 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, a production of Westwood One Sports.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. Good job by the NHL, stick handling its way into the national sports conversation. The fields are fertile right now for the sports that return. Record TV ratings for The Match, Bundesliga, and The Last Dance. Gary Bettman is usually booed worse than the Canadians in Boston, but yesterday he got some good pub. He announced the playoff format with 24 teams and got puckheads dreaming about a run to the cup and non-hockey fans wondering how quickly they need to learn icing rules, because right now, if you're playing it, we're watching it. And hockey jumped to the front of the line, cutting ahead of MLS, the NBA, and the Debbie Downers at Major League Baseball. Nice job, hockey. You just lit the lamp. This is Damon Amendolara.
When you're looking for a new or pre-owned travel trailer, fifth wheel, or motorhome, call Pontiac RV before you buy. Pontiac RV is Illinois' largest RV dealer. Our volume buying power and lower overhead means you'll save on major manufacturers like Coachmann, Keystone, Forest River, Tiffin Motorhomes, and more. With over 300 RVs in stock, see why people travel from all over the Midwest to Pontiac RV. Call or click PontiacRV.com.
Everything under the sun, Pontiac RV.
My little brother Gavin was killed in a car crash in Knox County.
But Gavin was not known to wear a seatbelt. And the truck rolled 3 times. And when it flipped, he was ejected from the vehicle.
At approximately 12:02, hit him.
Imagine leaving life at the age of 27. It's not fair that I don't have my brother anymore. If you care about the people around you, tell your loved ones to put their seatbelts on. You can learn more about Gavin at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the host of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey everyone, especially all my junior NBA friends. I hope everyone's holding up in these difficult times. We know you may not be able to play with your teammates and friends right now, but there are still some ways for you to stay involved in the game. We're so excited to launch Junior NBA at Home, which will keep you active wherever you may be. Each day we'll be posting drills and activities for you to do by yourself at home. Follow along at juniornba.com for all the latest, and be sure to use hashtag Junior NBA at Home when posting so we can learn something.
ConnectingVets.com. News for the military veteran.
You know what story I really liked reporting on is being able to share and showcase Sergeant First Class Janina Simmons. She was the first African-American female to graduate Ranger School. And so a trailblazer in her own right. But just awesome to be able to talk to her. And anytime you get to talk to the first of any group, right, it's cool.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine, your story is ConnectingVets.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, come on!
Did we leave the musical?
Hey!
Shh! Don't make any sudden moves.
Stop! What? Who the hell are you?
Oh, who the hell are you?
Quiet, quiet!
Mike Tyson?
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You're horrifying, guy.
But I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
One more time, guy.
Oh, no.
Mr. Tyson would like to know, why is this tiger in your bathroom?
Hold on. That was completely unnecessary. I'm a huge fan. When you knocked out Holmes, that
explain.
That's from The Hangover, and that was part of the rehabilitation of the image of Mike Tyson. And by the way, that's a movie that I'm in the apparent minority of people that just didn't really quite think it was all that funny. My wife loved it, and everybody else seemed to love it. I'm really kind of meh on the Hangover thing. But the reason why Mike Tyson is in the news is because, well, he's put himself there. He's put himself there with videos of him training and punching and moving around like he used to move and looking really menacing in a way as a boxer that he hasn't in the past. And now we're getting all sorts of sketchy reports about offers that he's going to come back and fight someone for something. Evander Holyfield at 57 has made it clear that he would be willing to fight him again. I don't want to see that, looking at the condition that Evander Holyfield is in. And surprisingly, Mike Tyson's in really good condition, I guess. He seems like himself, where Evander Holyfield, in the way he slurs his words and moves around, is not somebody I would like to see back in the ring. According to People magazine, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, the BKFC, or it's the Bare Kentucky Fried Chicken, which could be something completely different if it's BKFC, their president, David Feldman, has said the company was planning on upping their offer, which is already $20 million, to compete in a single fight for the organization. They want to offer Tyson a slew of new incentives, as we're not successful yet in making the Mike thing happen, but I don't think the door is shut. He did say no immediately, but I think there's room there. So where are we on this? Obviously, some of us who grew up watching Mike Tyson and who grew up big boxing fans and remembering that whole phenomenon, that Tyson himself has sort of a special place, and what he was just an amazing, amazing sports phenomenon to see him rise through the ranks and to hear all the stories and the Kid Dynamite Sports Illustrated cover, and then to watch what he did to Trevor Burbick and how he would just ruin people and entertain himself against Tyrell Biggs, who beat him out for a spot on the Olympic team, and Tyson just punished him, wouldn't let him fall, and just beat him to a bloody pulp because he wanted to. He was just a monster, and how intimidated everybody would get. Do I want to see Mike Tyson fight this guy we've seen on the videos? Am I sort of morbidly curious? Yeah, I kind of am, I guess. I have to say I am in that regard. But do people really know what we're talking about here, especially when we consider where we are in our culture and why certain things end up being okay and certain things end up not being okay? So I guess I'm asking this question. I always make the mistake of open-ended questions, but it's not an open-ended hockey question, so maybe we're in safer territory here.
is it okay that he's a convicted rapist when we know the reactions to Matt Lauer and Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby? Is it all of a sudden it's okay? Like Mike Tyson, we've all agreed somehow there's been a shared agreement to not care about that. Is that what we're doing here? I need to be clear on the concept, because Mike Tyson has gone from terrifying, menacing supervillain in a lot of ways, not just in the ring, but out of the ring, you know, convicted rapist, served 3 years of a 6-year sentence in prison from 1992 to 1995 before he was paroled. And all of a sudden, he's just like the goofy uncle now. And he's smiling and cool. And I know most people say that in their interactions with him, he's been, you know, a nice guy. But they said the same things about Wayne Gacy until they found all the bodies in his basement. You know, this is, I don't know where we are on this. Is this like a Michael Jackson thing where we all kind of agree, yeah, he's a pedophile. Yeah, probably, you know, preyed on children, you know, sexual pedophile, you know, actually acted on but hey, you know, rock with you. You know, Thriller, music's still good. There's no easy answers to any of this stuff. There is also the fact that he paid his debt to society. He served his time in prison per the law. And if we agree in rehabilitation, and other than biting off Vander Holyfield's ear, a chunk of his ear, and getting some strange face tattoos, he hasn't run afoul of anything behavioral since he was paroled from prison. So is that part of it? Is that what we're dealing with? Showing remorse, paying your debt to society? If that's it, then I guess I'm kind of cool with it in the same way I'm cool with Michael Vick actually showing remorse and serving his time. And I do believe that rehabilitation is possible. It's still, being convicted of rape, that's kind of a bad thing that in today's culture gets you, as we say, canceled. That's sort of what happens now, but it hasn't happened with Mike. And now with everything else that's going on, the fact that Mike Tyson has become this protagonist that so many of us admit that we want to see get out there and fight. Is it because he was on Punch-Out? I genuinely don't know the answer to this, and I'm counting myself as in the middle of all of this stuff. The 312 texter weighs in to say, I couldn't stand him, but that crazy uncle is spot on. I don't have a great excuse or reason. So my own opinion subconsciously changed over the past 10 years, and I really don't know why. 260 texter says, are you familiar with the Mike Tyson mysteries on Adult Swim? I'm not, actually, because it's a total goofy Uncle Mike vibe. So you hear the Hangover clip going all the way back to 2009. My God, I forgot that movie's 11 years old already. And like I say, overrated. Not that funny. I can say that because my wife left the room, because if she heard it, she'd probably come over and kill me. But I just don't know where we are on this. The 773 says Mike Tyson never did show remorse. 847 texters, it shows you where we stand as a society. We support the return of a rapist and continue to demonize Michael Vick for the dogfighting thing still. So people care more about animals than humans. 815 says rehabilitation requires a level of contrition. Tyson has not acknowledged that he was wrong. Yeah, I can't speak to knowing all of the facts of that. And I should mention that also while we talk about texters, we've had a change in the way we do texting. If you had been texting the short code, we are going to make that different and a little bit easier right now, because the number you call is 312-644-6767. That's the call-in number, and feel free to call in, by the way. That is also the number to text now. The text zone that's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The text zone is accessible now through that actual same number. The same number you call is the number you now text, 312-644-6767. So somehow, apparently, the money is there, because I think the ratings numbers would be there when you actually think, and if you're being honest with yourself about whether or not you would watch Mike Tyson fight somebody real. It would have to be an actual fight, not like a Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King thing, not something where he's fighting Evander Holyfield. If it were legit, and he were going to put on the black trunks and come in with a towel over his neck, because remember, that was part of the mystique, too. That was part of the thing of when the build-up to a Tyson fight, when you had all of this, the classic where the silk robes and they would come dancing into music. I want to say that Tyson started using Public Enemy. Was it Bring the Noise or some? I think it was Public Enemy. And he wasn't wearing a robe, and he didn't go through the whole thing. He literally had a white towel with a hole cut in it, and he put it over his neck, and he was just ready to go, and he would stand there, and the referee, Mills Lane, would go through the rules, and then he would just obliterate whoever was standing in front of him. He'd break his face open and crush his windpipe, and it was just, everything was just rage and destruction and absolute mayhem, and he dispensed with all the pomp and circumstance of all the Muhammad Ali, or the stuff that Apollo Creed was made to symbolize in the Rocky movies, and it was just this spare wrecking ball of a boxer that has an outsized place in our collective mind here. It just seems that we have in some way agreed to do this, where even today, even in the society in which we exist, this is a literal convicted rapist. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, it's Mike Tyson. All right, let's watch him fight again. You see that video? You see how fast his hands look? That's Mike Tyson. How about that? Okay, it just there is a certain level of incongruousness with which this is kind of ringing to me. And are we going to shrug? Is that really it? The 773 says it's more complex. As you said, there are people who don't believe he was guilty. And his victim was a woman of color. And for a vast majority of the population, that makes a difference, whether they admit it or not. Yeah, I think that needs to be said. I think that's important. I think if this were some adorable blonde woman, this would have been different, and it probably would have been more than 6 years, and he probably would have served more than three. That's just a fact when it comes to the way we as a country view these roles and the archetypes who are involved in these things. That's a really good point, and it's absolutely true. So if it's going to be Tyson Fury, if it's going to be Deontay Wilder, I doubt that. And I think either one of those guys would probably do bad things to a 53-year-old man. But puncher's chance, literal puncher's chance, if you think that 53-year-old Mike Tyson, when you watch him and you see him move in these videos, all it takes is one. All it takes is one early on the love button, and if he goes in and if he's got three full minutes in him at 53, gets himself into shape, little Rock'em Sock'em Robots, I admit that there is some intrigue. It's exciting. We have the Midday Midway coming up, and I have, believe it or not, a positive look at an outcome from the COVID-19 pandemic. And it has to do with an open-minded and informed look and projection of what could happen to our air travel experience. And it's going to get worse before it gets better, obviously, because we've got a lot of old technology in place and old design in place. But one of the air travel experts from CNBC did a deep investigation looking all around the world of what's being innovated, of how fundamentally our air travel can be changed for the better. And it's really cool. I've got that next, and I also have a 2,000-year-old brown liquid that has been discovered It has been disentombed. It has been decanted. It has been weighed and measured. And they're trying to figure out just what the hell it is. I've got that story as well. The Midday Midway is straight ahead on the Score.
The NHL is back. And so are the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll face off in a five-game play-in series against the Edmonton Oilers. We're here to talk Hawks in this very unique Chicago sports situation on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
You know who's open right now? The Chicago window guy. And if you look out your window and you say, that window's old and I keep hearing my air conditioner go on, well, maybe it's because your windows suck and you need new windows. I learned that because I called Russ Armstrong, the owner of Chicago Window Guys. And he measured and he made these custom windows and his guys put them in. And now it's great. My air conditioner doesn't come on as often as it did because the room is holding its temperature better. It's a higher quality of window. I'm really happy with the product and the process. And you can be the same when you give Russ a call. And he's doing virtual appointments over the internet or the phone. Call the Chicago Window Guys today, 847-881-3060. Make sure you mention my name, Dan, because if you're one of the first 10 callers that does so, you're going to get 10% off your order. It's a great product, a great process. I couldn't recommend it more highly. 847-881-3060. And check out his reviews, chicagowindowguy.com.
We're all looking for a little assistance adjusting to our new lives at home. ComEd can help. Through the CARE Financial Assistance Program and flexible payment options, we'll try to find a financial assistance solution that works for you. We're also suspending disconnections and waiving any new late charges through at least June 1st. If your service has already been disconnected, please call us at 800-334-7661. ComEd, let's power through this together.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
If nursing is your calling, you know how important it is to be the kind of nurse patients and their families trust. That starts with a nursing education you can trust, one like Marquette University's Direct Entry MSN program in Pleasant Prairie. It lets you use your existing bachelor's degree to earn a master's in nursing in less than 21 months. Not just any master's degree, one from a school with more than 80 years of nursing excellence. That's why healthcare employers trust Marquette for their nurses and why you can trust us to help you become one of them. Search us today at Pleasant Prairie MSN.
A message from your locally owned Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care Center. Amco is open and ready to help solve your vehicle repair needs. They've made it easier than ever to complete all transactions and payments over the phone and offer curbside drop-off and vehicle pickup. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO for details or search AAMCO for a location near you. That's AAMCO, Amco, Transmissions, and a whole lot more.
Zero. If you buy a new Hyundai before Memorial Day, it's the number of payments you'll make in the next 90 days. You can also get 0% APR for 84 months on a new Hyundai Tucson, which means you've got zero excuses to not be driving your new Hyundai by Memorial Day. Get 0% APR for 72 months on the Santa Fe or Elantra, or 0% APR for 84 months on the Tucson. See your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer or visit buyhyundai.com today. Offers end June 1st, 2020. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
It's time for the Midday Midway. We started out talking about baseball. We heard Tom Ricketts on CNBC crying poor, and we looked over this first proposal by baseball to the players, and it's whatever you want to call it. It's evil. It's immoral, it's objectionable, it's wholly wrong, and should be thrown right back in their faces. It's a complete FU to the players that is not bargaining in good faith. Joe Sheehan came on to talk about that. We talked football with Mike Florio. We also kind of talked about this increasing quest to push Mike Tyson back into fighting, or Tyson's desire to fight, and how he's in shape, and how these videos are awesome, and we get all stirred up, and we remember how much we liked watching him fight, and how many people probably would watch him fight in a legitimate match, and then we ask ourselves, is it okay that we're saying these things about a literal convicted rapist? And I guess we're just not going to know the answer for where that fits into how we feel about such things now, and it's hard for people to say, yeah, I would watch him fight, and yeah, I also know that he committed a horrible and violent crime and spent 3 years in prison for it. All right, before anything else, are we actually launching people into space today? Are we doing this? SpaceX and NASA, they're NASA astronauts, but it's Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, and we're doing this? We're actually going to put two people on a rocket and shoot them into space, and we're ready to go, and this is going to be okay. Robert Behnken and Douglas Hurley, who work for NASA, are going to be flying the Crew Dragon capsule, only the fifth spacecraft design. This is after Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and Space Shuttle that NASA has certified as safe for humans. And they're going to go up to the International Space Station. We're going to do this. Okay. Good luck. I wish everybody nothing but the best. I wish I could say I had 100% confidence that this would go off without a hitch, but I don't know. But speaking of flying, I did see this story, and as somebody who has hated airports for a long time, I was intrigued by what is actually happening due to the pandemic that's going to change the way we think about air travel, and certainly the way our children and our children's children will experience air travel. As a relative germaphobe, just at my resting setting pre-pandemic, I was always a multiple hand sanitized per day, hand wash sanitizer in the car, and especially around the kids. And I always told them when we traveled, when we got to airports, don't touch surfaces. On escalators, I would always hold on to me, don't hold on to the rail, don't touch railings, don't touch anything. Because, you know, kids, they touch things, they touch their faces, and obviously now they're older, and I've probably frightened them into already being germaphobes themselves. But hey, we're all germaphobes now. We're all here. Welcome to it. So according to CNBC, they said the pandemic is pushing positive change at airports at breakneck speed. What's on the horizon? Imagine shorter lines, cruising through checkpoints, not touching anything except for your mobile phone, from your car door to your airplane seat, because the tech to do this already exists. So there's a couple of thumbnail sketches here talking about the mad dash for touchless technology. Widely anticipated that airports will transition to touchless technology at a much quicker rate. The managing director of a London-based design consultancy says, we're seeing 5 years innovation in 5 months. Driver's licenses and passports are being replaced with facial recognition and iris scanning biometrics. There already is a biometric terminal at Georgia's Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. 72% of customers preferred biometric boarding over standard boarding, and fewer than 2% opted out. So Delta has been expanding facial recognition practices. United Airlines has pilot programs in San Francisco, Washington Dulles, and Houston. Mobile phones are also going to be used differently. That's your remote control device to manage your travel. Right now, you can check in or use the bag drop kiosk. In the longer term, it's your digital identity that's stored on your mobile. And they're thinking that because of that, now instead of lining up for security, you will have an appointment where your phone will buzz saying it is now your turn. Now go through security. Now get in this distance line. Similarly, with boarding, rather than that stupid thing that we do where we stand around in a blob of people waiting for our group to be called to go board because people are in such a hurry to sit on an aluminum tube and breathe everyone else's beer farts, George Carlin, SkyPoint. I don't know why people want to do it so quickly because they have to get their thing in the overhead bin. what they're saying now is maybe you'll be told it is now your turn to board. There are pictures of travelers passing through immigration control through what's called a smart tunnel in Dubai Airport using biometrics to clear immigration in 15 seconds for passport control. So changes to the security line, and how about this? More things being cleaned, saying your baggage will now be fogged or misted as it's processed. Even carry-ons, as they go through security, could be UV-lighted, fogged with a disinfectant. And even disinfecting people. Sterilization of people, like in the movie or the book, The Andromeda Strain, that people actually could be sprayed or UV-lighted in a way that's going to make them less infectious. Saying terminals will be designed differently. That smoother check-in and security will have people in larger, better-spaced departure lounges with digital payment systems. There's going to be, you're not going to have cashiers, you're not going to have conveyor belts. There could be robots and AIs playing bigger roles to eliminate lines and crowds. Dining and retail areas might be separated. And here's the most important thing, that airports might be changed from these awful germ-spreading areas, these hot zones, into a place where disease can be checked, when there are cameras, when there are sensors. Air hubs could become a place to not just not spread disease, but actively detect and contain emerging health threats. So I'm passing along positive news about air travel.
Dan, I love the idea of the disinfecting mist. I years ago invented, didn't actually follow through because I have no capital, the idea of the Purell fountain that you would go through if you were in a water park. Every time you got out of that disgusting urine-filled pool, you would just go through the Purell fountain and do it over again. It sounds like my idea has been adapted. Just like Spiegel's passenger seat buffet was stolen, my Purell fountain has been stolen.
I will never forget when my daughter, years and years and years ago, she's always loved the water, and she asked to go not just to a water park, but one of the indoor water parks. And, that was like, it was like 2 hours of me having to pretend I wasn't doing what I was, like, I had to actually dissociate myself from reality for a while just to try to be a good dad. Ooh, boy. And that's what I knew, and anybody who's done youth hockey in this area has done the Dells trip. And if you are staying at one of the big indoor water parks there, that's when I can put the big "I'm not interested" sign on that. I'll be at the bar.
I don't go to those. Much. I'm too skinny for water parks, apparently. I don't have the body type to be a patron at a water. I'll keep working on it, though. I'll bulk up and I'll try to get to water park level.
Not only that, you don't have enough artless, witless tattoos.
I'm working on that, too.
Okay, so get on that.
All right, we'll do.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a 2,000-year-old swan-shaped bronze vessel, which they say contains more than 3 liters of a mysterious liquid. Researchers at the Sanmenjia Archaeology Institute in central China's Henan province announced the discovery of the intact grave on May 21st, and tests are now being carried out to determine what the liquid is. The bronzeware pot, the top of which is shaped like the neck and head of a swan, was found inside a tomb along with other burial objects, such as a helmet and a sword made of jade and iron, and there are pictures of it here. And according to researcher Yan Fei, more than 3 liters of brownish liquid was poured out from a small hole. Though members of the public have speculated the vessel may have contained some early form of grain alcohol, Mr. Yan's institute says he's invited experts from Beijing to test the substance before confirming anything. A researcher with the School of Humanities at the University of Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing took a sample of the liquid on May 18th. It is still being analyzed. The swan head bronze vessel is a rare find. They say it's very lifelike, including mouth and eyes. It shows how skilled early civilizations were at creating bronzeware. They believe it was modeled on a mute swan known as a Cygnus olor. Some thought it resembled a goose, but veterinarians concluded it was more than likely a swan due to its longer beak. So how old are we talking about here? The tomb where it was unearthed has been dated to the chaotic, war-torn period, also referred to as uncertain and unprecedented times. During this chaotic and war-torn period, between the end of the Qin Dynasty, 221 to 207 BC, and the early Han Dynasty, 206 BC to 220 AD, that chaotic, war-torn period, and researchers believe the items belonged to a low-ranking official, the tomb was found by chance by workers taking part in an urban development project in a local village. And it's fascinating. There's all sorts of color pictures here via the Daily Mail. So if you really had the balls to do it, though, don't you just pour a round of shots and just go for it? And just down the hatch of whatever that 2,000-year-old brown liquid is and just kind of hope for the best? Or just give it to Shane, right? Because he'd probably do it, you know? It probably... who knows? But I'm thinking it's like the stuff at the beginning of Prometheus. Remember, whatever that stuff is that makes people mutate into aliens or something like that? But I'd wonder, like, how much would somebody have to pay you to just... somebody to pour that out? All right, here's something. It's 2,000 years old. It's brown. It was in a container. And just do a shot. Like, what
was that? It's not old, it was decanting.
Right?
I mean, yeah, it's aged.
Yes, the decanting is just to oxygenate it. It was just. Who knows what it is? It could be motor oil for all we know. I don't know. Because, you know, the Chinese were so far ahead on everything. They had gunpowder and all that stuff before anybody did. So who knows what it might be. And by the way, did Shane cut his thumb off?
Yeah, he was selling it really hard on Twitter, like it was some sort of emergency, like he lopped off his thumb, but it's a little nick. It's a little more than a small cut, but it's, you know, for a guy who uses a knife that often, you'd think he'd be better. You know, it's kind of shameful, really.
Well, but look, you're not a chef until you have a bunch of scars on your hands, it's more burns than it is knife wounds, even though my son is always criticizing my knife skills. I took a damn knife skills class and he's still making fun of me. This sucks. I've decided I'm trading in my family, I think. I'm going to see what I can get for him. I'm going to see if I can trade him in and then maybe test drive a couple other families. It's that time. We should see what we can do. See if we can swap some of this stuff out. Anyway, yeah,
let's talk after the show, okay?
Fine. Deal. That is the Midday Midway. We're going to talk some basketball next. Keith Smith of Yahoo was really out ahead of everybody when talking about the plan to centralize an NBA bubble league of some format at Walt Disney World, because he had some inside knowledge of what was going on there and what was capable there. So we're going to get into some of the possible details, pitfalls, and everything with the return of the NBA. After that, we'll talk a little bit of hockey. Let's do that hockey with Kevin Weeks at 11:20. Check in with Matt Spiegel at 11:40. So we've got a full 11 o'clock hour coming your way. This segment is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. They help millions of people like you take control of their personal information online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. Keep it here for Keith Smith, NBA Yahoo columnist. He's next on The Score.
Hey, Scoreheads, big news. Interacting with your favorite Score shows is now easier than ever. Check this out. You can call and text The Score guys at one number. 312-644-6767. Yep, it's the same number you've called for years. But now you can call and text at the same number. How easy is that? Again, from now on, text and call your favorite Score shows at one number. 312-644-6767. Remember, 67011 will no longer be active for texts. Just one number to talk and text The Score. 312-644-6767. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
My little brother Gavin was killed in a car crash in Knox County.
But Gavin was not known to wear a seatbelt. And the truck rolled 3 times. And when it flipped, he was ejected from the vehicle. At approximately 12:02, hit him.
Imagine leaving life at the age of